Hey, it's Chaos Queen here, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey, it's Mistress Carrie, and you are listening to Studio 2009.
We are Too Fast, Too Furious here at the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm, of course, TF Joe and Mike, and this is Studio 2009. We've been away for a while, and you heard the long-ass intro clip in the last episode, but in case you didn't listen to episode 141, I've had a bunch of life updates and things going on with me, and everything's okay for the most part, but my health has been It's been an up-and-down battle, and I'm working on it, so there's that. But let's get to this program. But let's get to the show, Too Fast, Too Furious, with my buddy Sean and myself discussing this awesome sequel from 2003.
There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Did not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike, and joining me once again is my old buddy Sean, a.k.a. Old Schools. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm here. We're here, which is always a good thing. Today we are continuing on in our 11-episode arc covering every Fast Saga film from the first one nearly 25 years ago all the way up to Fast X from 2023. And this time around, we are Too Fast, Too Furious. Oh boy. So this movie, this was the sequel that released in June of 2003, June 6th of 2003. 2 years after the first film, and I almost did not have to watch this again, even though I did, only because out of all of the sequels, I remember this one the most because it was more about Brian. Like, the first movie obviously sets up Brian and sets up his character and everything else and introduces Dom and everything else. I know there were behind-the-scenes things or Vin Diesel wasn't available at the time to come back. I actually like that he didn't come back because it gave Paul and Brian a chance for Brian's character to breathe and to learn more about him, because we really don't learn anything about Brian in the first movie. We learn that Brian is an undercover cop who is trying to infiltrate Dom's gang. We learn all about how Dom is all about family and everything else, and how he's living a double life of this. You know, you can listen to the last episode, folks, to hear Sean and I talk about the first film. But the reason why I like this movie the most so far out of the sequels is because we actually get more, and that's why I like the introduction of Tyrese Gibson's character for Roman Pierce, because it gives background to Brian. I really dug that. I thought that was great about this movie. Like I said, 2003, this movie was in production in 2002, had a budget of $76 million. And the box office gross was $236.4 million. Now, $76 million even in 2002 standards, for what this movie is, that's pretty cheap. I mean, they got a lot of good cars in this movie.
Yeah, they actually started to introduce American Muscle in this movie, which the first movie, they didn't even have any. It was all ricers, as they say, but they actually introduced American Muscle.
They did in this, but Dom's Charger is American Muscle. That's the only one, I think.
That's true, yeah. But you touched on it and said something, but I had read that Vin Diesel didn't return on this movie because the screenplay didn't have like a Francis Ford Coppola approach to it. So that's why he didn't come to this one.
Let me double check, but you could be right. I don't remember. I don't know. He was offered.
Yeah, he did have another movie that he was doing. It was a sci-fi movie, but he actually turned this down. He opted to go with the sci-fi movie.
He went with Riddick instead. Yeah. So basically, they offered him $25 million to return, and after he read the screenplay, he didn't like it and felt it was inferior. He felt that it wasn't the potential was inferior compared to that of the predecessor.
I kind of agreed with him.
I mean, this movie is still a car guy movie. Yeah,
but when you think about it, Too Fast, Too Furious wasn't really much of anything to do with the first one, with the exception of Brian. I mean, they introduced, you know, like you said, Tyrese Gibson. They introduced
Ludacris.
Ludacris. And they introduced a lot of new fixtures, which I guess is a good thing. But because, I mean, look how long Luda stayed around after that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And they're in every show.
Yeah, pretty much.
All the way to the end. So it's like the whole crew changed with the exception of Letty, you know, Dom and Brian.
Yep.
I mean, anyway.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, you can't exactly bring Jesse back from the dead, unfortunately.
Well, no, you're right on that. Yeah. I forgot about Jesse, but, you know.
Yeah, poor Jesse. But
all the other guys, they didn't, you know, I always wondered why they didn't come back because they were a big part of the whole gist of it.
Yeah.
Family, familia. Yeah. You know, that's what they always talk about. So. What happened there?
I don't know. But I think for me, what I like about this movie at 108 minutes, so almost 2 hours, it never, like, I've only seen this movie 3 times since it released. I saw it in theaters. I remember going to the theater and seeing this movie because I just had to see it in the theater at the time back in 2003.
Imagine that.
June of 03. Wasn't I back in Louisville then? Yeah, I probably would have been. Probably. I know we didn't see this together, but...
No.
But I'm pretty sure I saw this in theaters.
I think you were staying with me, and you went out. You went to it by yourself.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, it could be. Oh, the funny thing is that back, 2003, and then I think when Fast Five hit in 2011, I think that's when Fast Five, anyway, we'll figure that out when we go down the line, folks. When Fast Five came out, I did a rewatch of Fast 1, 2, and 4. Because Tokyo Drift doesn't count until after 6. It's a whole thing, folks. It's just a whole ass thing. But every time I've seen this movie, I've dug it because it was something as simple as seeing where Brian went after the first film, seeing his journey. And the other thing is, I think they did this in post-production. I don't think they did this beforehand, but they did a turbocharged prelude to Too Fast, Too Furious. It's a 6-minute short film showing his escape from LA and showing him ending up in Miami. And it's just this, it's on YouTube, folks. I'll have the link in the show notes if you want to go watch it. It's basically just it's a roadmap scene. It's like any scene in a movie that wants to pass time. It's him going from place to place to place, and you see how he's living and things, which is why I say this is better off. This specific movie is better off not having Vin Diesel in it, because this is Brian's movie. It's about his character. It's about how he had to come to terms with what he did, and basically throwing in his childhood best friend with Roman Pierce and dealing with all of that. They even say it at the end of the movie, you know, when he and Rome are discussing things. He goes, "Oh, you let your man go in L.A., huh?" He goes, "Yeah, I don't want to talk about it." That, I think that's why I like this one, is because we got the first one, which is great, great movie. But the first one is more so finding out about Dom and finding out about his family and how he is with his character. And it was about the overall arc, the overarching thing of the street racing scene at the time with race wars and all this and all that. So with Too Fast, Too Furious and having it set in Miami and all that, I liked the scenery. I liked all of that. I don't really have any negatives. I don't. I think the only thing for me is I actually do have one negative. The only scene I had to fast forward, when they put the rats on the cop. Nope, I don't do rats. Can't do it.
I love that part. I thought that was great. Yeah, but you know, that was played by I don't know his name right off the top of my mind, but it's rip off of Yellowstone, which is amazing the way they look now, the difference of them.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you ever watched Yellowstone, but
I haven't yet. I'm going to eventually.
I just got done doing it, and it's amazing. But yeah, the bad guy in Too Fast, Too Furious is one of the main characters in Yellowstone, and he just looks so different.
Yeah. Yeah. That was Carter Verone, played by Cole Hauser. Now, where I saw where I saw him before this was he played in 1997. He played Billy McBride in Good Will Hunting. He was one of Matt Damon's buddies in Good Will Hunting, along with Ben Affleck.
Yeah, I remember that. But I did want to touch on, for the listeners, if you haven't seen that 6-minute prelude, which I hadn't until Mike had told me just a couple of days ago, I went and watched it, and it was amazing. And, yeah. You know, it's like it was every piece I needed to put things together. And if you haven't seen it or didn't know about it, like I said, I didn't. I'm a huge fan of this series. You really need to go watch that. It'll answer a lot of questions for you.
Yeah. And that's why I'm going to include the link in the show notes for people to go check it out on YouTube, on whichever you, hopefully it, by the time people hear this, the video will still, I think it'll still be there. It's YouTube. They never delete stuff. Well, they do, but they don't.
I live my life a quarter mile at a time. Nothing else matters. For those 10 seconds or less,
but yeah, no, and yeah, I was surprised to see him. I was surprised to see Cole Hauser as Carter Verone in this. I was like, hey, wait a minute, I recognize that guy.
And he played it beautifully.
Yeah, he did.
He couldn't have had a better bad guy. It's like that role was made for him. They couldn't have picked a better person to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. What was your favorite part from this one?
My favorite part. Well, I would have to say it might be a little silly, but they introduced she's just incredibly hot. I forget her name. This is what happens, folks, when you wake up late. But you know who I'm talking about?
Which one? Eva Mendes?
Yeah.
Monica Fuentes? Yep.
Yes. And I just liked her whole role. But, you know, especially towards the end when she was getting mistreated and she was found out. And then she comes up with the shotgun and says, "I got it."
Yep.
Like, yeah, that was awesome. I mean, just it's like handling a big old piece of, you know, weaponry, and this guy had just pretty much like dominated her whole life, and in those 5 seconds she got to be just basically, I don't know how I'm trying to say it, but yes, that was my favorite part, because it's kind of like one of those deals in a movie, you know, like where either it's Arnold Schwarzenegger saying his, you know, his punchline, or it was one of those punchlines for me.
Yep, absolutely.
But what was yours?
For me, it was, it's got to be a tie between Brian's first appearance and when they, when he jumps the car onto the boat. When Rome's like, boat car, you're not going to do that. Oh, hell no. But that first appearance, when you see, not, like, you don't even see Brian at first. You really don't. You see Ludacris, you see all this other stuff, and because they're setting up for the race. Oh, you're supposed to have a fourth, blah, blah, blah. Let me call somebody. And he calls him, and he's like, oh, you know, thanks. And everybody's like, oh, shit, it's Brian, because everybody knows. He's got that reputation. Everybody knows.
That part was kind of cool, but how they did it when he pulled up, I just got this feeling like, wow, this is really corny. Like, you all slipped on this one. it just, like, when Brian gets there and he goes to get out, it's like he's King Dingling. Just the way, did you notice that everybody's like, oh, we've known him for years and years and years, and shaking his hand, and it was very corny for me.
I don't know how, like, I don't remember off the top of my head how much time passed between the end of the first movie and the beginning of this, including the prelude. I don't know how much, let's just say it's been a year. So let's say that his journey from L.A. to Miami took maybe a couple of days. Maybe he's been there 6 months. Maybe they do know him. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, and Suki even says it. Oh, shit, it's Brian. Like, they know him. So, I mean, I understand the way. Yeah, I agree with you. It's a little cheesy how we get out of the car and everybody's running over to him.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where they did that because they do know him, and they do, you know, they do know, maybe they know he's struggling or whatever. Who knows? I don't know, you know, former, you know, law enforcement, now, you know, street racing, whatever, and on the run and needing to make as much dough as you can, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I love the introduction of, they brought James Remar in here as Agent Markham. I love James Remar. I've always loved him as an actor. He's done a lot of stuff in film and television. He was in 48 Hours in 1982. He was in The Dream Team in 1989. He was in White Fang from 91. He was in Fatal Instinct from 93. Oh, that's right. He was one of the Block Lord. He was an uncredited Block Lord in Judge Dredd. Wow, Judge Dredd's 30 years old this year. Good Lord. Ah, that's right. He unfortunately for him, because everybody was so pissed about this, he replaced the Highlander in Mortal Kombat Annihilation as the short haircut Lord Raiden. So he was in the Mortal Kombat Annihilation sequel for movies. And then TV's done a bunch of stuff as well, but I don't know. He's just one of those actors that I like his voice, I like his style, I like what he does.
Yeah, he's been around for, like you said, a long time, and he knows. He knows more than some of the actors have actually.
Oh yeah.
He's forgot more than some of the actors know. Mm-hmm. That's what I was trying to say.
Yep. Absolutely. And another character they introduced into this was Agent Bilkins, who was played by Tom Barry. Technically, Agent Bilkins was in the first film, too, I think. Was he or wasn't he?
I don't remember. I want to say, yeah, but now that you say that, it was.
He was. Okay. That's what I thought. He was. Yeah, because I remember him getting pissed in the first. That's right.
Folks, yeah, look, he was actually the upper dog in the ring trying to put this together. And he was the one saying, you know, y'all only have one more week and that's it. So,
That's right. That's right. Because he was the contact for Brian. That's right. No, he was the guy behind. Tom Barry, who plays him, after these movies, I would watch Tom Barry in a TV show called Cold Case. He would play Will Jeffries for 156 episodes. I love this guy. I wish he was doing more stuff. He hasn't done any acting since 2014 and 2016. He's still alive. He's just not active anymore in acting. But I just love the way that he carries himself in all the roles that he plays. And Bilkins in this is just hilarious. Bilkins is way more laid back than he was in the first film.
Yeah, like in that fight scene between. Yep. Oh, yep. That was good.
That was so like, good. He's like,
I ain't in it. Yep. I loved it.
Yeah.
Yo, whatever happens next, just let it go. I ain't in it.
I do know now a cool tidbit. You know that the gun that the other guy you were just talking about, the gun they used and it would hit the car and shut down all the electrical pieces.
Yep.
That was never real. But after the movie, they did like the idea of it, and they tried to put something together. But yeah, that was not a real piece.
No.
So it was actually great brain work from who brought it up, who put it together, even down to the looks of it.
Yeah.
Because before that, nothing like that existed. Never even been thought of, and I thought that was really cool.
The special effects in this was great. It was great. Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. I don't ever remember seeing any movie, TV, even in real life. I don't think that's something they came up with, and that's pretty slick. EMP missile,
right.
Thing. Very, very cool.
Yeah. They called it the ESD harpoon launcher. But it was a gun that shot harpoons with three prongs, and you know, when it hit the car, it disabled it.
Yeah.
Caused the vehicle to spin out of control, which that part is non-believable. But, you know. Just they don't have anything like that, but I guarantee you now, next 5 years, you'll probably see it on there.
Who knows? Or out
in
you
the
never police. Know.
Yeah.
So,
I got a good one for you, Mike.
What's that?
So, I forget her name in the movie. You know, the girl racer.
Suki.
Yeah, Suki. Did you know she didn't even have a driver's license?
That doesn't surprise me, actually.
Right, no. She just... I can't remember all the details. What I'd like to know is if she really... Well, I mean, she had to really drive the car, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, she didn't have a driver's license for whatever reason.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool.
I don't know how at 20 years old she didn't have a driver's license.
A lot of girls that don't really want to get their driver's license. Whether... You know.
Yeah, that was Devin Aoki, and she was born in 82. Yep.
I graduated in 86. Well, I'm not going to say anymore.
Oh, boy.
That's probably more your age, huh?
Yep. Yeah, she's 2 years younger than I am, so she's 43 now.
Sad thing is you don't see her anything anymore.
No, you don't, which is weird.
And well, now they did say that a lot of the fans wished that she kind of got her own spinoff, but it just didn't happen.
Cool.
Huh?
I said, yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah, he was a fan favorite, but sadly, there was nothing else. She it's like she disappeared on us.
And her filmography doesn't have much. She did Debs in 2004. She did
what?
Debs in 2004. She did Sin City in 2005. She's done a bunch of other things that I haven't even heard of. And the last thing she did was in 2018. So, but yeah, no. So with this being Brian's story and just kind of looking at him as a character and looking how he interacts with his friend and actually all of his friends, technically, because it's him and Tej and Roman, and having to deal once again with like this customs agent, the agent Markham wants him to do this one way and this, that, and the other thing. And then you got to look at Carter Verone, which is Cole Hauser's character, which is the bad guys. Like, you know, I swear when I watched this movie this time around, I was like, I'm just waiting for, and I know this is not going to happen, obviously, but I was like, really, this feels like Bad Boys 2. Really does. Because if you look at this movie and you look at that movie came out in the same year, I think. When did Bad Boys 2 come out? Anyway, Bad Boys 2 is heroin smuggling, drug smuggling, money laundering, is all that kind of. The only thing missing from Bad Boys 2 is street racing. And the only thing missing from this is Will and Martin. Honestly, yeah, they came out the same year, 2003. Huh. Literally, the second time around watching this movie, I was like, "Huh, it's."
Which is what I exactly just did.
Yeah, I know, because I was like, "Wait a minute!" Like, yeah, very similar. But yeah, no, and I think this movie is one of those sequels that also stands up as its own film without, like you've already said, we basically have Agent Bilkins, we have Brian, we have, that's about it. Those are the only two really returning characters. Everybody else is all new introductory characters. So it kind of does feel like its own thing, but it still feels like a sequel because you have Brian and his story. The other thing about this movie is it feels like movies sometimes today last too long. Like, this is 108 minutes, so this is just under a two-hour movie. There are some movies now that are 2 hours that feel like they're 3 hours. They just go on and on and on and on and on. And this movie, the reason why I like movies like this, and whether it's this genre or any genre, movies that just go. They just go and they flow well, and they do the beginning, middle, and end, and you actually get to an ending. Whereas some of these movies today, in the last, I would say, 15 years, they're like, oh, well, we're going to do this for 75 minutes, and then we're going to do this. And it's like, oh, my God, when is this? There's so many movies in the last 15 years where I'm like, I think it should have ended here. Like, they have that jump cut of, we could have ended the movie right now, but oh wait, there's more, kind of thing. This movie doesn't have that, because it has a thing of, you're moving from scene to scene, you're moving from each plot point to each plot point, and there aren't too many plot points in this. The plot point is, you have to infiltrate Verone's compound, you have to figure out what he's doing, and you have to stop him. That's it. The rest of it is all shenanigans and fiddle faddle, I guess. I don't know.
I was doing a little bit of digging while you were telling that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how Devon, she didn't have a license, nor did she have any driving experience.
Oh, so wow.
She didn't even know how to drive a car.
What the hang?
Yeah. And that's at, would you say, 20 something years old?
At the time when the movie was released, at the 2000, well, I looked at the production, not the release, but essentially she was 20, 21 years old at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't find out that, like, they, she did a read for the movie. Everything was smooth. They liked her, and they hired her. They did not find that out until, you know, which you would think that would be an important part. But then again, hey, you're in your 20s. It is to be taken. Everybody knows how to drive, but you're the exact.
Speak for yourself.
Yes, right. Mike doesn't drive, and he's whatever age he is now. But. And it's just a matter of, I asked him one time why he didn't drive, and I don't quite remember what the answer
was. It's the same story it's always been. Okay, and it's perfect for this movie because Brian even does it himself. So Brian does the right seater. Brian has the right seat drive car.
Right.
That is technically what I would need. However, the problem is that I can only use my left foot. So I would need, in 2025 standards, I could probably get an electric car, which make you furious because I know you're probably not that big on electric.
No, I'm not.
But,
I hate them.
Okay. But my point is, the thing about the... So for me, it's
totally makes sense what you're saying. I definitely understand.
So it's the physical thing where I have to use one foot for both pedals, and I have to concentrate on that. And also my concentration, because of my brain damage, concentration can only focus on one thing. When you're in a car, you have a million things you have to concentrate on. And so you take the brain damage, you add in the visual
part.
wait, what did you say? Plus the
I'm
what?
Supposed to miss that part on where you had to focus on a million things.
Well, I mean, you kind of do as a driver, right? You've been driving all your life.
I never really? Did. And you rode around with me for a long
time. I know. Well, you got to focus on the cars around you, in front of you, behind you. You have to focus on that. You got to focus on if there are traffic lights, stop signs. You got to make sure you're doing the right speed. You don't want to go too fast. You don't want to go too slow either.
Taking the fact that the people next to you and the people around you, they know how to do it as well, too.
Yeah, I don't know about all that now. And the other thing for me is the vision thing. Because I can, I always, lately, in various episodes of whatever podcast I'm recording, I will always say to people, let's just say I put a stop sign on my apartment, in the back of my front door of my apartment, even though where I'm sitting right now at my desk and I can look at my door, which I'm doing at this moment, I can see the stop sign. I can see the shape of it. I can see the colors. I can see that it says STOP.
Yeah.
I know that it says that. Does it mean
you
that
know,
I can,
or
read, does it mean that it? I can? Well, that's the thing. I know that it says that. Does that mean I can read that it says that? Probably not. Okay. And yeah, I've had glasses in the past, and I'm working on getting glasses again. But driving has just never been a thing where I'm like, oh my God, I must do that. I've never had that. When I was 14 and 15 years old, I never had, oh my God, I can't wait till I get 16 and I can drive. I'm like, nope. It's not going to work. It's just not going to work. So I live vicariously through other people, folks.
That's okay. Well, not to take anybody away from the movie.
No. It works. It works because we can tell, it's just the way it is.
Yeah, we are still dealing with cars, though, when we do this. So.
Oh, absolutely. But, would I love to be able to drive? Yeah, sure. Am I going to ever be able to drive? Hell no. And I'm perfectly fine with that because it's one less stress that I have to deal with in my life, which is why I say that I live vicariously through other people and through media like this. Like, man, that down and back, that race, that final race. Oh, man, I was like, I remember I do remember this when I went to see this in theaters. I was on the edge of my seat. I'm like, okay, how are they? Oh, they're going to do that. He's going to play chicken. Gotcha. That's how they're going to get him. Gotcha. Because they were not going to win that race, unfortunately. They did, luckily, but they weren't in the beginning.
You know, doing these shows with you, it just, obviously, because I haven't seen you in a while since that, but, you know, for all the listeners of TJ Mike or TG...
TFG1, it's Geekcast Radio Network. For all the listeners out there, yes, go ahead. Yes.
If you ever get a chance, somehow, some way, to meet him, it'd be one of those things to where your life's not complete until you do that. Just, he has a lot of interesting views. He has a great way of looking at life. He, you know, just things that happen to him, if they were to happen to us, our lives would just crash. We would do our normal thing. We would this, we would that. It rolls off his back like a duck. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can learn from him, but he's just an interesting character. So if you ever get a chance, do not pass that up.
Well, see, here's the thing. In 16 years, 3,957 podcasts, there have been a lot of people that have met me without having to actually meet me in person. Because that's a lot of audio.
It's just the same.
I know. But it's one of those things where that's the thing. Like, I've been doing this so long, and I don't know what the numbers are, but I do know we have a lot of loyal listeners that do send me messages every once in a while saying, hey, I like this, or I agree with this, or I disagree with this, or, oh, thanks for that, or whatever. And I appreciate all the feedback that we ever get. But it's just one of those things where, yeah, this is how I communicate. This is how I get my opinions out there, because I am not a people person. Not public.
I know that, but I'm just saying, you know, for the listeners out there, if by chance it ever comes around, do not pass it up. There's a lot to learn. But anyway, back to the movie.
Yeah, man, it's all about unyielding hope and faith and the belief that, you know, you can get through anything. So you just got to keep on keeping on. But yeah, the movie, that last race, oh boy, that last race, oh boy. And then, like I said, the car jumped to the boat, and you already mentioned when she brought the shotgun. Yeah. And I wasn't sure. I mean, I knew, because like I said, I remembered this pretty much. Like, as soon as I started watching it, I'm like, that's going to happen. That's going to happen. That, like, literally, I don't know how I remembered this movie so well, but I just did. And
the great thing about these movies, they are like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And at the end, when Markham says, is that all the evidence? Is that it? And
yeah.
Brian and Rome look at each other and they're like, oh, no, well, maybe it's Agent Dunn. There's more evidence over here to collect, blah, blah, blah. And of course, we know, because Rome ain't going to go home hungry.
Nope. They're
pies. Oh, man. Yeah.
It was a great ending to the movie.
That's true. Yep. The only thing is, there was, like, if I remember correctly, and I'll correct myself in the next episode when we talk about the Fast and Furious from 2009. I don't think they ever set that garage up. I know Tej still has his garage, but I don't think Brian and Rome ever set that garage up, because they went in a completely different direction. Because by the end of this movie, they then did Tokyo Drift. And then there wasn't another one until 2009. So there was 6 years between movies, chronologically release-wise. Because Tokyo Drift was... No, wait. Am I wrong in that? This was 03.
Tokyo Drift. When was Tokyo Drift?
So there was only three. So there's 3 years between each one. Okay, so I was wrong. Too Fast, Too Furious was 2003. Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift, which is technically the third film, was 2006. And then the fourth film was 2009. So 3 years between each one. I originally thought, me and my brain damaged brain. Yeah, how this works for us is like the one in 2009 is the next movie that we'll be discussing. And I don't think they ever set up that garage.
No.
They can just give it to Ted, give the money to Tej. Keep some for themselves, but give the rest to Tej.
Oh, boy.
So, anything else about this one before, any other final thoughts yet before I send it to a quick ad break?
No, I really enjoyed that they did start to bring in some American muscles, like the Saline Mustang and old school, you know, Challenger, Charger, whatever it was. Yep. And just the Camaro, the Yanko Camaro. I mean, it was about time they introduced American muscle to it, because as that series went on, there was more and more Detroit muscle put into the film. So the big thing, of course, you know, I'm pretty sure that Dodge was a big supporter of these films, because everything they did with extra cars and things of that nature were Dodges. You know, the Ram trucks, the Dodge Chargers, the just everything, you know, when they had to have a bunch of cars, it's like they went to Dodge and said, okay, this is what we need.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm trying to see. I don't have a list of the cars that were in it, but I know they had that Cuda in there, too.
Well, that's what I meant. The Cuda. But it was old school. But the Saline Mustang was one of my all-time favorite cars. And there was one in there on that, you know, when they were going to Barone's house.
Yeah.
But there's that. There was a Corvette, was a Mustang, just, you know, like I said, of course, then the Yanko, that's a class act car there, rare and hard to find, and, you know, just, I loved it when I saw it. I was like, here we go, no more Ricers, except for, you know, Ramon and Brian.
Yeah. But
anyway.
Yeah, this movie actually only it was only nominated or won in three different movie award things. It was nominated for two MTV Movie Awards. It was nominated for a Golden Raspberry Award, which thank God it didn't win that. And I'm sorry, I don't like the Golden Raspberries whatsoever, and thank God it didn't win this, the category it was nominated for. Worst excuse for an actual movie, all concept, no content. That's bullshit. The two awards it won was for Paul Walker himself as Choice Movie Chemistry and Choice Movie Fight Action Scene, Paul Walker versus Tyrese Gibson for Teen Choice Awards. So this movie didn't even get, like, real awards. It got Teen Choice Awards. Oh, boy. That's crazy to me. Just so crazy. What were you going to say? I'm not sure you're going to say something.
No, I was actually enjoying, the content that you provide. Not only is it very interesting, but it's enjoyable. So half the time I'm sitting here as if like I'm not even helping you. It's like one of the listeners.
All right, folks. Like I said, we're going to take a quick ad break. You're going to hear some podcast ads and some other stuff. And we'll come back to close the show right after this. We'll also come back with ratings because I forgot that.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Are you missing entertainment in your life? Welcome to Captain Ruggles Gaming. Whether it's guides, roleplay content, or our shenanigans with our collaborations with the 20 years standing strong Fart Clan, also known as Fast Action Response Team, or the Wrecking Crew, we have something for everyone. So join us when we traverse the cosmos of space games, survive the undead in zombie games, or just having fun in first-person shooters or random indie games. Visit us now at geekcastradio.com and youtube.com/@CaptainRuggles or Google search Captain Ruggles Gaming. It's game time, and I'll see you but on the battlefield.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes or geekcastradio.com.
Hey, toy fans, this is John, also known as Iacon Dispatch. You can find me on pretty much every social network at Iacon Dispatch, where I share cool Transformers and Star Wars stuff that I like. Thanks so much to the great people at Geekcast Radio Network for putting this awesome project together and for once again letting me contribute to it. Definitely had a lot of fun with it. Take it easy, everyone, and I'll see you around online.
Hello, everyone. This is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Each week, we review
the latest from Hollywood, California.
Well, yes, Brendan. We also
give top three lists.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks again, Brendan. Additionally, you can hear us
talk other movie news, trailers, varying movie series, or other interesting film-related topics, and even rants and raves of the week.
On top of our main show, every Friday,
you can also hear our extra film podcasts.
You can listen to the In Session Film podcast on
iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or at InSessionFilm.com. Listen to the In Session Film podcast every Monday and Friday. Subscribe today and hear me verbally beat JD like a Cherokee drum.
No. That's not how this works, sir.
For the best in science fiction, join Mark Baumgarten, Vicky Jakubowski, Zion Quiros, and Juan San Miguel on the award-winning podcast Marku 42's Universe. Doctor Who, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Star Trek, and more are all fair game with Marku 42, which has been around since 2012 in one form or another. Marku 42's Universe is proud to be a part of Geekcast Radio Network, the best place to get your geek on. Listen to us bi-weekly or weekly if we have a topic relevant for you, our listeners. Marku 42 on Geekcast Radio Network, a match made in a galaxy near you.
Imagine a podcast that celebrates the things we love. Why spend time being so angry and cynical about our fandoms? Join me, the Irredeemable Shag, for a show where we're just trying to be happy. The Once Upon a Geek Podcast. Our discussions focus on a variety of geeky subjects that we're passionate about. While the topics will be ever-changing, our focus will be on science fiction, comic books, what it means to be a geek in this world, and other nostalgia-fueled ideas. Life is short. Focus on the positive. Find your joy. The Once Upon a Geek Podcast, part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Hi there, Boss fans. My name is Jesse Jackson, and I'm the host of Set Lusting Bruce, a Bruce Springsteen fan podcast. For the past decade, my guests and I have shared heartfelt conversations, unforgettable fan stories, and deep dives into the lyrics that have shaped our lives. From the passionate debates over sways and waves, deciding on if Mary gets in the car or not, to deep dives from Greetings to Letter to You. We've covered it all because Springsteen isn't just music. He is a great companion on this part of the ride. So grab your suitcase and your ticket, put on your favorite Springsteen t-shirt, and join me for our 10th anniversary year. Setlusting Bruce, 10 years strong and still making our way to the land of hope and dreams.
Good morning, loafers, and welcome back to a fantastic show. We've got with us today Brian Blanchard and Brian Johnson,
the social loafers.
Every episode is a new episode. We have different categories. We're talking movies mostly, and everything we do is off the cuff, different. It's fun. It's tangential.
And we do it live.
Don't forget to follow us on the Social Loafer Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter on Social Loafer 85. Check us out on Spotify, iHeartRadio.
Loafers out.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk.
Hello, Julie. What the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
All right, folks, we are back here inside Studio 2009. This is episode 142. And like I said earlier, we forgot to do the ratings. So 0 to 5 with half points, what would you rate Too Fast, Too Furious, sir?
I would say a 4.
Yeah, I would say a 4, but I'm going to go 3.5. I do really love the movie, but it's the rats, man. I just can't. I'm just like Indiana Jones. I just can't give that extra half point for the rats.
And I am giving it to the red.
Disgusting. hope you all are enjoying this journey that Sean and I are taking into the Fast saga. Thank you for joining us here inside Studio 2009. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can also check out shop.geekcastradio.com. Check out all of our stuff that we have over there as well. You can send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on all the podcatching clients you choose to use. You can follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio Network, at It's Studio 2009. I am at TF2 and Mike. Are you still using Twitter or no?
I'm on there, but I still mainly use Facebook.
Okay, sounds good. Speaking of Facebook, go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork, and you can also check out Studio 2009 podcast over there as well. You got a Facebook fan page for whatever you're working on that you want to promote?
Just other than Old School's Coins, you know, go to facebook.com/Old School's Coins. If you need anything to help towards your retirement or you're a coin collector, you're fascinated with coins, stop by, check us out.
Very cool, very cool. As I mentioned, next time, 2009's Fast and Furious is up next. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Old School.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.
I know my tags are out of date, but damn.
Remember, folks, we here at the Geekcast Radio Network, we hungry.